You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
To the crimson flow, many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on, through him I must win. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my part, he does safely keep, and he leads me gently on through this world below. He's a real friend to me. Oh, I love him so. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice.
Okay, thank you all.
Telling you, Brother Doug, who's not here tonight, is always saying that there'll be no sound equipment in heaven.
Yeah.
It's all going to hell. He may be right. I don't know. Turn in your Bibles for just a moment to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and if you don't have a Bible, then you can't turn there. So if you'd like to turn there, we'll furnish you a Bible. Okay? Get your hand up and we'll get you a Bible. Got some guys coming around. Let me say this about those Bibles. If you do not have a Bible here with you, I'm talking about in Odessa, or if you just do not have a Bible, take that one as a gift from the rec room. Let that be our gift to you. Now, if you're going to turn it back in at the end of the program, if you would lay it back on the table, back at the back, instead of leaving it in the chairs, we'd appreciate that, and we won't have to collect them. You can help us that much. And the book of Hebrews, way over toward the end, chapter 11, and that's that great faith chapter. It says in verse 6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, not he was, not he's going to be, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now I want you to go to the book of Esther. The book of Esther is only 10 short chapters. It's right before the book of Job, which is right before the book of Psalms, which Psalms is the middle of the Bible. So just let your Bible fly open in the middle. You'll be in Psalms, then go to the left and come to the book of Esther. Turn to chapter 4. But let me give you a little background about the book of Esther. Is one of two books in the Bible named for a woman. Esther, and then there's the book of Ruth. Esther was a Jewish girl working with a Gentile king. Ruth was a Gentile girl that married a Jewish man. Also, something very unusual about the book of Esther, it's one of two books in the Bible that the name of God is never mention. The book of Esther and the Song of Solomon do not have the name of God in them. What is amazing about the book of Esther, you see him working behind the scenes in every chapter. Now, we live in a time that's not a day of miracles. Those passed at the end of Acts. But let me tell you what we have is God behind every scene. He is real. He is working. And nobody's going to con him. Now, again, the book of Esther is got five main players in it. One is a king, King Ahasuerus. He's a Persian king, and he's been king for 3 years, and they have a celebration, is the way the book of Esther starts. His wife, Vashti, doesn't last long, and we'll talk about her more in a moment. And then there's a guy by the name of Haman. He would fit right in 2015. I'm telling you, he's proud, he's haughty, he's brutal. He wants his way. He's eat up with his own self. He's an egotist, and he's doing everything that's politically correct. And he's miserable, like most people are today. No happiness, no joy, no peace. Then there's a guy by the name of Mordecai. Mordecai was a Jew that when Nebuchadnezzar and the nation of Babylon overthrew Jerusalem, and they brought a bunch of Jews. Daniel was one of them, and the three Hebrew children. Mordecai was one of those guys they brought over to Babylon. Babylon then was overthrown by the Medes and the Persians. This is where King Ahasuerus comes in. And this is a man of God. He's a very strong individual. And then Esther, the namesake of the book. Esther actually was Mordecai's cousin, but she's much younger. Her parents died, and Mordecai raised her and brought her up. And Esther had to be a real knockout. I'm telling you, she was charming, she was sharp. Because as the program starts off, as the book starts off, Ahasuerus is given the party. He's got 127 provinces under him. It's like having 127 states. We've got 50 states in America, but they were much bigger than America. But he had 127 provinces, and he invited them all in, and they're partying. They are going strong. And he calls for Vashti, the queen, to come. He's proud of her. He wants to show her up, show her off. And she won't come. She kind of puts the king in a bad light. And it kind of gets the attention of all them guys in those provinces and those rulers and said, "Hey, king, if she does that, guess what our wives going to do? We can't have this. It'll be all over the country." But, see, you women are like that. And so, the king just got rid of Vashti. Said, "Here's your pass to leave the castle." And so then he has a contest to get a new queen. And man alive, they're coming from everywhere, all the young virgins. And Mordecai enters Esther. And lo and behold, this this goes on a year or two, but it comes down to the place that Esther is number one. She's got everybody's attention. In fact, it says over in about the second chapter of Esther, verse 17, the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. And this Haman, who was number two, he'd got himself, he had just done everything he needed to do and got himself promoted to the number two man in the kingdom. And everywhere he went, no ma'am, we don't leave. Everywhere he went, people kowtowed to him. He's a big shot. They bowed to him, and he loved it. He ate that up. That is, everybody but one Jew named Mordecai. Mordecai remembered the commandments God gave him: thou shalt have no other God before me, you'll bow down to nobody. And Mordecai wouldn't bow down, and it just grated Haman to no end. He couldn't stand it. And he connived and he planned and he thought, I'm not only going to get rid of that guy, but he found out Mordecai was a Jew. He said, I'm going to get rid of all the Jews. And so he went to the king, and he had some great influence with the king. And he said, King, we got a group of people here that really they can't be trusted. And believe me, we need to kill them. And the king had trusted Haman, and okay, and he got the king to write a decree. And let me tell you something about the Persians' decrees. When the king gave a decree, he can't rescind it. He can't go back on it. He can't change it. It's there. That was part of their national law. And so they set a day, the 13th day of the 12th month. Everybody turns on a Jew and kills him in all 127 provinces. Every Jewish boy, every Jewish baby, every Jewish girl, every Jewish man, every Jewish woman, we're going to kill them, because Haman can't stand Mordecai. And when the message, when the information comes to Mordecai, he also realizes that if they're going to kill all the Jews, who they're going to get? Esther. She's a Jew. And so he contacts Esther. He said, you got to do something about this. Now then, in the fourth chapter, here's what's going to take place. Verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews. Notice what he said. They're going to be delivered from another place. If you don't stand up, Esther, you don't control the Jews. God's not mentioned, but Mordecai knows who's in control. He said, the deliverance will come from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom? And notice this phrase, for such a time as this. And I think there comes a time in everybody's life that's for such a time as this. Then Esther bade him return. Go tell Mordecai this. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go to the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Now here was the threat. if you went to the king and weren't called, he could have you killed. And they were so powerful, didn't make any difference whether you were queen or not. And she'd argued with Mordecai. She said, I haven't been called to the king. What if he don't want me to come at that time? If I go, the king will kill me. But notice what she said. If I perish, I perish. Win, lose, or draw, I'm going to do what I need to do. And if it comes out wrong, it'll just come out wrong. Either way, if she doesn't go, she's going to be killed. If she does go, she might be killed. So at least she's got a chance. And she said, if I perish, I perish. Now, while all of these things are going on, Mordecai one time had heard two guys planning to kill the king. He told Esther. Esther put it in the Chronicles and put Mordecai's name in it. While all of this is taking place and Haman is out here rejoicing he's going to kill all the Jews, the king can't sleep one night. God's working behind the scenes, man. And so he's reading the Chronicles. And he reads there that Mordecai had saved his life. And he asked him, he said, what was done for this guy Mordecai that really turned these people in and saved my life? They were going to off the king. And he told on them. And they said, nothing. And old Haman is out front. And the king said, who's out there? And they said, Haman. He said, Haman, come here a minute. Boy, of course, Haman, he would run in there. And he said, Haman, he said, help me with this. He said, what would you do to a guy that you really wanted to honor? And of course, Haman, being the egotist he was, he thought, well, who else would it be but me? And old Haman said, let me tell you what I'd do, king. I'd put the royal robes on him. I'd put him on my horse and lead him through town and let everybody praise him. Because old Haman's thinking, I'm going to get to wear them royal robes and I'm going to ride that white horse and everybody will be. And the king said, my, Haman, that's good. Go get Mordecai and take him. Haman goes home. He is in a snit. Also at this time, he'd built a 75-foot gallows to hang Mordecai. He just didn't want to hang him on a little gallows. He wanted the whole world to see Mordecai hanging. He was looking forward to that. Guess who ended up on those gallows? He goes back. He is beside himself. Now Esther comes to the king. And the king welcomes her. Said, what do you want, Esther? I'll give you anything you want, up to half my kingdom. What do you want? She said, I want to meet with you and Haman. And man, when she does that, Haman runs home, tells his people, said, guess what? Said, the queen wants to meet with me and the king. And they meet. And Haman is so proud. And she says, king, my people are going to be murdered. You've issued a decree. Because king didn't know she was a Jew. There's an evil man that's issued a decree to kill my people for no reason. And the king said, who could that possibly be? And she said, this guy, Haman. God's got a sense of humor. Behind these scenes, God is never mentioned. And the Bible doesn't have the word accident in it, and it doesn't have the word luck in it. God is in control. Let me tell you that. And so the king can't rescind this because it's a law that Medes and the Persians have. But you know what he does? God gives him another plan. He said he sent to all 127 provinces, "You Jews, get ready to defend yourself. You can fight back." Well, that puts a whole new slant on things, doesn't it? I'm going to get to go over there and murder all these people. We're going to take them out. But wait a minute, they're armed. That's not right. Haman gets beside himself, and the king walks out of the conference. He comes back in, and Haman is laying on Esther, begging her to do something for him. And the king thinks that Haman's putting a hustle on her, and he just has him hung on that 75-foot gallows. And the day comes, the 13th day of the 12th month, and the Jews defend themselves. And they are not wiped out, and they're not annihilated. And the next day, the number two man in the kingdom is Mordecai. Now, let me give you three things you can be sure of. Number one, God is still in control, where it looks like it or not. Some of you maybe are going through some rough times. It doesn't look like there's an answer. When Mordecai got the word that they're killing all the Jews, he is in misery. He's fasting and praying in his sackcloth. How are we going to get by this? God is still in control, whether it looks like it or not. When things are looking so bad, God's in control. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. And let me tell you, he loves you because, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is in control, whether it looks like it or not. Number two, God is winning when it looks like he's losing. I mentioned this before years ago. I don't ever hear this anymore. I guess we're too sophisticated, but we used to have a saying, "Church ain't over till the fat lady sings." We don't know how it's going to end. But with God in control, even when it looks like he's looked on the cross, they shouted and taunted and ridiculed and mocked Jesus Christ. And I'm sure Satan was dancing around that cross. "We've won. Christ is dead. He's dying." And that's all right for that day and the next day and the next day. But then guess what? Something happened to the tomb, people. Where is he? He's gone. He arose. We win. God is winning when it looks like he's losing. He can throw everything at his people, and yet they come out. Daniel in the lion's den, and he's still alive. Three Hebrew children, but the fire so hot that the men that threw them in the furnace were burned to death. The heat was so intense. And that, you know what? They wouldn't even smell the smoke on them. Don't you wish some of y'all could do that? Yeah, they right in the furnace. But you can't smell any smoke. Because God is winning when it looks like he's losing. Number three, it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus.
Amen.
It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. Paul said, and that's I think Paul was part Texan because he said, I reckon. He said, I reckon that the suffering of this present time will not be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Everybody has some dark days. Everybody has some heavy days. Everybody has family problems. Everybody has financial problems. Everybody has physical problems. Somebody said this, if we all threw our troubles and our problems out in the middle of the floor, in a little bit we'd reach out there and get ours back. Because you look around and you see somebody else that's got a lot more problems. But because you're God's child doesn't mean you're without problems. It just means you've got a way that you're going to win in the long run. One of the old songs says this, said, if I had not had problems, I'd never known God could solve them. And God, it'll be worth it all. Because of what Christ does for us. The end is not yet. And in the middle of the book of Esther, it's the saddest of all times for the Jewish people in those 127 provinces. At the end, they won. That's what happened if you're on God's side, God's team, with Jesus Christ. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. And you're here tonight and you say, Leland, I've got that hope. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I'm glad to know that we'll win with Him. I put my faith and trust in Him. Would you just lift your hand up if you've done that? I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. Now then, you slip them back down. And man, I like the way some of you did that. You threw those hands up in a hurry. But some of you didn't. Because you don't have Christ. You don't have that hope. That anticipation of it getting better.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.